You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
You know, this week I saw a video clip of somebody explaining the benefits of praying the Our Father. And it wasn't just spiritual that we're connecting with God, but he said, neurologically, how the Lord's Prayer puts you in a better frame of mind. To think better, to believe better, to act better. So when the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? He was thinking more than just giving them the key elements to pray in the right way. But what he taught them affected them neurologically, the way that they think. Amen? Who of you worry a lot? The Our Father is the prayer for you. Amen. So for years, Bible scholars have studied the Word of God to find out what's the secrets. What is the key that God would listen to me and move quickly? And prayer is really about our relationship that we have with God the Father more than anything else. The Our Father teaches us that it's not just words, but there's a pattern, there's a way to do things. The Bible teaches us that there are different kinds of prayer. When you look at 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, you can see there's four different kinds of prayer just listed there. How do we pray when we're holding on to a promise? How do we pray when something is coming against us? What should our daily prayers be like? What should we pray? How do we start? So I thought, okay, we always think that everybody knows it, but sometimes we even have to remind ourselves what is the right thing to do. So prayer is just communicating with God, trusting God to do something unusual in our lives. Faith is not for the possible, but faith is for the impossible. So when you pray for things, there's times when we pray to God, our Father which art in heaven, but there are times when you have to pray towards things, when you have to move mountains. I thought many times we just pray prayers and we hope it's like Russian roulette. I'm going to fire off a few shots and hope I hit it. But that's not prayer. Prayer gives us assurance. Amen. So I want to look at two. There's many things that I can teach on, like I mentioned, the book of Peter, but I'm not going to teach on that. I want to touch on Mark 11, which is when Jesus taught them how to speak to mountains, and Matthew 6, when the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? So when you look at Mark 11, it starts off with Jesus' triumphant entry. Then he goes into the temple. He walks out of the temple. He curses the fig tree. Then he goes and he cleanses the temple. And then the next day, he starts to teach the disciples on how to speak to mountains. So all those things are very relevant. And we should understand what is he teaching and saying to us that all those things happened before the time. Amen? When you face a mountain, an obstacle, you speak to it, not about it. When you speak about it, it's just going to get bigger. But when you speak to it, it's going to start to disappear. Amen. So, are you ready? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a faithful God, O Lord. Open our ears to hear what you are saying, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Position us, O Lord, to see what heaven is seeing, and to have heaven's view of our situation. Stir up faith in our hearts, O Lord, and ignite our hearts to believe like never before, to make great and big confessions, O Lord, as we believe in a great and big God. Take us, Lord, from where we are to where you want us to be. Let your people hear your voice upon my voice, and let faith be stirred up in their hearts to pray like never before. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Many people have stopped praying because they've stopped believing. They think, oh, why should I pray because Jesus doesn't listen? Why should I pray because I know God won't do it in any case? But faith allows us to believe in the impossible. That's why we have to put our trust in God. I want to tell you, there's no mountain too big that God cannot deal with it. Amen? So let's start the foundation. Number one. Speak to the mountain. Mark 11 verse 22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I want you to see, Jesus didn't say, ask me in faith to move the mountain or remove the mountain and I'm going to do it. He said, no. If anyone speaks to this mountain, turn to the person next to you, say, it's time to speak to the mountain. When your confession, what you are saying, has got your heart's full agreement, then you'll see there'll be a force from heaven that will affect it. Your confession needs your heart's full agreement. If you're just saying it, but you're not believing it, nothing is going to change. That's like people teaching us, remember you have to say, when they show you the glass that's with water that's half full, they've taught all of us to say the glass is half full. Don't say the glass is half empty. Because if you say it's half empty, then you're negative. Am I talking to the right people? But if you feel half empty on the inside, you can say with your mouth half full, you're believing it's half empty. Am I talking to the right people? So prayer is not empty religion, but prayer is us communicating with God. Think about the fig tree. Jesus starts off with that. He comes to the fig tree and he sees the leaves, but there's no fruit. Outwardly, everything looks fine, but there's no fruit. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have to bear fruit. Jesus didn't bless the fig tree because it had leaves. He cursed it. He said, nobody will ever eat from you again. Jesus cleansed the temple. Outwardly, it looked like a place where people gathered together to worship God. But inside, they were corrupt, doing the wrong things. So he's teaching us that before you want to pray, don't look outwardly. You know, I can look like a pastor, but the most important thing is I should be a pastor in my heart. This is the problem that we have in the church today. Many people look like pastors, drive pastors' cars, walk like pastors, speak like pastors, but they're not pastors in their hearts. So Jesus comes and he says, listen here, clean the rubbish on the outside, in the inside out. Because prayer is effective when it's from the inside out. Then when he goes in and he cleanses the temple, look at what he says, Mark 11:17. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves. Can I just say one thing? Praying brings nations together, does not divide nations. Prayer, a church should be represented by all nations if we are praying. Otherwise, we are praying prayers according to our own will and not the will of God. But God says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. You can say what you want to. This is the word of God and we're going to preach the truth. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The fig tree represents religion. It has a form of godliness, but it denies the power of God. When people are praying in the right way, the power of God is there to bring people together. We are now the temple of God. You're the temple of God. So he's saying, look at yourself. Are you just busy with religion, green leaves? Or is there actually fruit of the Holy Spirit manifesting in your life? As a temple, Jesus cleaned out the money changers, the people that made it about money. Because those portions that was used there to trade was for other nations and all others to come together, but there was no place for them now. And he said, I'm removing that so that everybody can come together so that we can pray, because my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Not outward prayers, inward prayers. I can recite and memorize prayers that can impress you and speak eloquently. But true prayer comes from a humble and sincere heart that's reaching out to God. You know, when When I got saved, prayed the sinner's prayer, I was very angry with the devil. I was in a traditional church, but I said, how is it that I have not been serving God, not been born again? I've been busy with activities. I was really furious with the devil. And in my heart, I said, devil, I'm going to sort you out. But in a religious way. And my first 3 days as a born-again believer was hell. Let me just tell you that. People have many different experiences. My first 3 days, because when I got born again and prayed the sinner's prayer, I was angry with the devil. I wanted to take the devil on. And you cannot take the devil on. And when I said, devil, I'm going to sort you out. You know what he did? He had a heyday with me. For 3 days, I battled with thoughts where the devil wanted to put thoughts in my head to curse God. Yes, that's how my pastor's journey started. So if you want to be a pastor, you might go through experience like that. And after 3 days, I was really fed up. And I went and sat on my knees praying, very religiously, like with a little warm potato here in my mouth. Oh God, just want to come to you and tell you that this is not on. I feel like this. I've become born again and I'm battling with thoughts. If this is how it's going to feel, I'm just going to leave it. I'm telling you now, prayed like that. Praying all these, I've surrendered now to you and I want to serve you. I was praying this religious thing. And after about 10 minutes, I just said, I've had it. Cannot do this anymore. And I just started talking normally. I know you've never gone through that, but I said, Father, if this is how it's going to feel to serve you, I'm just going to go back and live the way that I lived. And the Lord said to me, why don't you surrender completely to me? And don't try and fight the battles that I've had victory over already. And when I did this, yes, give the Lord a hand. And when I did this while I sat there, the Lord baptized me with the Holy Spirit, and it felt like buckets of water that fell on the inside and splashed up. If you can see, like, imagine waves just coming. That night when I fell asleep, when I was lying like this, started speaking in tongues. Nobody laid hands on me. I started speaking in tongues. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Prayer is not a religious activity. It's a relationship that's based on authority because we're in right standing with God. And from that day, I just stopped praying religious prayers. And I spoke to God like a son speaks to a father. I know some people speak like a friend to a friend, and God is my friend, but I've got a lot of respect to him. I speak to him as a father. I honor him. I respect him. And this is what it's all about. And he said, it's from the inside out. James said, it's the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Effective prayer is prayer that's in the Spirit. So if you're not praying according to the Word, being led by the Holy Spirit, you're wasting your time. It's religious activity. Effective, fervent. I mean, with your heart, passion. Of a righteous man. That's the position we hold in Jesus Christ. So if you want your prayers to be effective, it starts with having a right relationship with Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin, so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what is it all about? The righteousness of God. Jesus said, Matthew 6 verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. So he says, faith is acknowledging what you already have. So when you pray, you should believe that you have already received it. Then you can have it. So when you're a child of God, number one, you are seated in heavenly places. And when you are seated in heavenly places and you're a son and daughter of the Most High God, you don't beg, you ask. Turn to the person next to you and say, stop begging. If you are begging, you need to repent and get born again and get in right standing with God. Why? Because when you are born again, you are seated in heavenly places. You cannot be seated in heavenly places if you've not been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. So the first thing with prayer is to make sure where you're praying from. Are you praying from a position in heaven, seated in heavenly places, or are you praying from a position here on earth? Turn to the person next to you, say, when you are born again, you are seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 2 verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are not beggars, we are ambassadors of heaven. We're not beggars, we're ambassadors of heaven when we are praying. When you have this kind of prayer, you can pray with authority, but authority is always linked to submission. Then to the person next to you, say, it's important that you are submitted and committed. This is the highest expression of our obedience to God and His authority, to be submitted and committed to the Word of God. You must be submitted under authority if you want to exercise authority. Watchman Nee said, if we do not submit to God's authority, we cannot pray with authority. What does that mean? It means you cannot live like the devil and ask God to act on your behalf. So not one amen now. So when you're going to face a mountain, and I mean your mountain can be sickness, it can be finances, it can be your marriage, it can be your children. If you want to face those things, you have to make sure, number one, that you're in right standing with God. Because otherwise we're just praying. You know, many times people pray the whole night, loud and shout at the top of their voice. That's not prayer. It's not how much you pray or how loud you pray. It's how much faith is in the prayer that you are praying. And to be able to pray a prayer of faith, you number one have to be in right standing with God. You have to know the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So I have to make sure that this connection is right. So it comes down to your conscience. James 4 verse 7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So when you're going to pray, you cannot be double-minded. You must know it's the will of God to deal with this mountain. And when you speak to that mountain, it's because God has dealt with it already. Now you can believe it and know that God will do it. Now I can say, you mountain of fear, be drowned in the sea in Jesus' name. And that fear is to go. Will the enemy still attack you with thoughts of fear? Yes. But that's why you take those thoughts captive and you bring them in line with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if your child is sick, who's had a sick child recently? I've got one as well. When the child's got sickness in their body, call it whatever you want to. Do you as a parent say, Lord, can I just know your will concerning this, my father? I just want to come to you. Should this child be sick? Should I go to the doctor? Should I get medicine? What would you want me to do, Lord? I just want to be obedient. That's false humility. When there's sickness in that child's body, you do what you can to get it out. And the more severe the sickness, if it's a cancer, you want to get it out immediately. That's how you should look at sin in your life that wants to disconnect yourself from God. The enemy wants unrighteousness to get into your heart because you need a righteous heart to pray effective prayers. And not righteousness based upon what you've done right. I'm talking about the righteousness of God, which is a gift, which you receive by faith. So when you believe that it is done, you can start thanking God. Abraham, when the Lord said, you're going to have a child, you're going to have a son, where his body was dead, And everything was against him and his wife. What does the Bible say? What did he start doing? He started thanking God. Because faith is acknowledging what you already have. He said, Lord, thank you. You've done it. You've done it. You've done it. You've done it. Family, listen to me. When it comes to these things, when you have to pray, the only proof of your faith is your obedience. I think it's 2 Corinthians 13, 5 that says, test yourself to see whether you're in faith. When last did you test yourself to see whether you're in faith? So, prayer is not a substitute for obedience. That's point number two. It flows from the right relationship, a relationship that Jesus made possible for us. A.W. Tozer said, prayer is never an acceptable substitute for obedience. We cannot pray eloquently and live recklessly. We cannot make demands on God but live like the devil. Can I have one amen? We're talking about Christian prayer here. Why do you think Jesus said to the man at the gate, beautiful? John 5 verse 14, he says, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen to you. What is he saying to him? He says, now that you've been healed by righteousness, don't go and practice unrighteousness. Something bad can happen to you. If you want to make a demand upon the word of God, you have to obey the word of God. If you want to be healed by the word of God, if you want to be delivered by the word of God, get ready to be ruled by the word of God. So prayer originates out of our relationship with God. There are many other religions that are praying to their gods, but it's not out of relationship. The Bible says in Matthew 6 verse 9, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is the first condition, our Father. Prayer is for sons and daughters of the Most High God. Are you born again? Then pray. If you are born again, then pray. Our Father which art in heaven. The second thing, hallowed be your name. This is the first thing that we do in prayer. We give glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your tremendous grace. Thank you, Lord, for making a way that we can be here. And you start to glorify God for his goodness and his mercy. Giving glory to God, being submitted and committed to him. Prayer flows out of a life that is aligned with heaven. To get heaven's opinion. Lord, your will be done. Not my needs first be met. Your will be done. Why am I not getting a lot of amens when I'm preaching on prayer? Don't you like what I'm saying here or what Jesus is saying about prayer? You know, sometimes we've taught ourselves to pray, but we pray wrong. Most of the time when we go to God, we go with our list of things that he must do, like he's our servant. We are the servants of the Most High God. Prayer is aligning yourself with the will of God. We have an assignment here on earth, and that is to manifest heaven here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When last did you go into your marketplace and pray the presence of God into that place to manifest there? You know, when you know heaven's opinion about your situation, your whole attitude will change. Most of you think God is crossed with your boss because you are crossed with your boss. Many of you think God is unhappy with your spouse because you're unhappy maybe with your spouse or your children or your church or whatever. But when you have heaven's opinion here, you'll know your spouse is made in the image of God. She's a daughter of God. You're a son of God. God loves her and you as much as he loved all his disciples. So faith, when we say we are faith, and Jesus said, when I come, will I really find faith? Faith is just acknowledging what you already have. You are blessed with every blessing that's in Christ Jesus. That's true prayer, true power. Believe you have received it. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus has done it for you already. You know what is the key? The key is to believe that you have it already. That's faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may not see the manifestation yet, but in the spirit you have it. It's yours. You've been blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus. He says, by Jesus' stripes we were healed. You were healed already. You're just waiting for the manifestation. So faith believes now. Faith receives now. Faith acts now. Hope waits for tomorrow, but faith acts now. Can I tell you something? What you are believing God for right now is a forecast of your future. So if you believe in God for big things, it's a forecast of your future. But if you believe in God for nothing, why should there something happen in the future? Turn to the person that you say, Aina. A person that believes all things are possible can expect miracles in their future. But if you say, ach, kay sarah, sarah, things don't just happen. Jesus was very focused, very intentional when he walked on this earth. When you say, our Father which art in heaven, and we pray that in humility and sincerity of heart, you can know that God has heard you. Because you're no longer a stranger. You're saying, we are family. Let me just rephrase that. I've got a boy and a girl. They're 25, 26 years old now already. But they know when they come to me and they ask me for something, when it's in my means, I'm going to do it for them. Why? Because they familia, they family. Family. In the same way, when we come to God the Father and we ask Him, we know that He will do it. If we ask it in line with His word, He will do it because we family. Then to the person next to you, say, we family. You know what I like about the Lord's Prayer? When He talks about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's talking about all these spiritual things, big things where there's hope. Then the next minute He goes straight, whoop, give us this day our daily bread. He wants to manifest heaven here on earth. So when you're giving glory to God, you acknowledge your position before Him, that He is your Father, you are His son, you are His daughter. You can start asking for the things that you need. And when you go on in Matthew 6, He says, the things that the world needs, the heathens need. He says, your Father never knows that you have need of all those things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. Spurgeon says, praying is breathing in heaven's atmosphere. So every time you go and pray, you go to our Father, you are breathing in heaven's atmosphere. But he says, when you praise, you are breathing out heaven's atmosphere. That's why when we come together and we praise God, we worship God. Are you aware of heaven's atmosphere when we worship God in spirit and in truth? So, next point of prayer. Here's the most difficult one on prayer. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is the difficult one on prayer. Both Mark 11, Matthew 6, when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray effectively, to say it, to believe it, to receive it, in both instances, he taught on forgiveness. Strong prayer and strong faith are linked to forgiveness. Turn to the person that you say you're going to have to forgive. So you're going to have to let go of that offense. Say, while you are bitter, your prayers are weak. Mark 11, 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. As a matter of fact, Peter says that you should dwell in wisdom with your wife. Because if you don't do that, it will affect your prayers. Why? Because if you have an unrighteous attitude towards anybody, unforgiveness is unrighteousness. How do you think you can pray righteous prayer, effective prayers? Matthew 6, 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's important that when you want to pray, you make sure that your heart is pure. Even in my prayer room, right at the top, the first prayer that I pray, most merciful God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I confess before you and the heavenly host that I've sinned in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. Forgive me my sins, forgive me my sin, and heal me, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Make haste to help me. Wash me and cleanse me with your blood from all unrighteousness. People say, I'm not sin conscious, but I'm aware that the only thing that can separate me from God and a good conscience is sin. If you want to be healed, delivered, pray effective prayers by the Word of God, then get ready to be ruled by the Word of God. You cannot expect God, you cannot expect righteousness to heal you and then go and practice unrighteousness. What produces miracles? What produces effective prayer? What produces salvation in your life? It's a good question to ask. How do you receive salvation? You confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart unto righteousness. What brings salvation into your life? Righteousness. Righteousness, the righteousness of God, not your self-righteousness. That's the fig tree with only leaves and no fruit. The man with the withered hand, when Jesus said, what is easier, to say be healed or to say your sins are forgiven? He said, what's easy? He said, it's the same. Why? Because it's the righteousness of God that produces miracles to bring healing, and it's the righteousness of God that brings salvation. So salvation is all about the heart. Righteousness is about allowing our hearts to be righteous. His righteousness, not our righteousness. Believing that Jesus died on the cross. So this is very important. What did David say in Psalm 66 verse 18? He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Say, Aina. It doesn't say if you sin. It says, if you regard, what does that mean? It means if you keep it, if you refuse to repent, if you have delight in sin. It says, if this place, where's the temple now? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says, here, you cannot keep sin in here and delight in it. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. So he's talking about prayer. He's talking about the heart's attitude. He says, I know God will hear me. Because even when we make a mistake as Christians, we run to God. We're quick to repent. It's not that we don't sin. We sin, but we're not sinners. Turn to the person that you say, you can sin, but you're not a sinner. When you sin, you run to God. 1 John 1:9. Who is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us and disconnect us from all unrighteousness so that we can be in right standing with God. Now when you pray, you can look to God, the righteous one, and pray effective prayers. What is the first thing that the devil will do when you have to pray for somebody? He'll say, I know what you did yesterday. I know you kicked the cat last night. Am I doing it to the right people? Then you say, I'm not looking at what I've done, but I'm looking at what Jesus has done on the cross. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of my faith. It doesn't say if you sin. It says if you regard sin. What does John 9 say? See, people don't want to read these scriptures. John 9:31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Worships him and does his will. Doesn't say if you're perfect, you're not a sinner. You're a saint. But even a saint can make a mistake. But when you make a mistake, you run to God and you go and repent. Lord, forgive me. Then to the person next, you say, when you're born again, you're no longer a sinner. Amen. Am I helping some of you here? It's the prayer of the righteous that avails much. But this righteousness is a gift. I'm going to close with this. The Lord's Prayer is a blueprint to help us to pray more effectively. That when you come and you say, Our Father, and there's anything your heart condemns you or convict, your heart will not condemn you, the devil condemns, God, the Holy Spirit will convict you and says, it's not right. If you want to bring your gift to the altar, what does the Bible say? When you bring your gift to the altar and the Holy Spirit says to you, no, your brother's got something against you, lay it down. When last did you do that? When you wanted to offer something to God, go hear what your heart is saying. I wonder what would happen in the church if everybody had to give that way. Am I talking to the right people here? I want to preach a gospel to you that will get you into heaven. Not think that you are safe. And then when Jesus comes, he says, what did you teach my people? So prayer should always start, Our Father, acknowledge your position that you're a son and a daughter. Hallowed be your name. Glorify his name. Magnify his name. Exalt him for who he is. His marvelous name, because you see his name working in the Spirit. If we have prayed prayers that does not give glory to God, those prayers are powerless. Because it's all about him. Amen? From there, in your position, now we can say, Lord, give me my daily bread. Lord, as you have forgiven me, I want to forgive. Do not lead me into temptation, Lord. Protect us as a family. And if you want to pray protection over your family, the first thing that you have to do is cover them with the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray the blood of Jesus over my family. Let your blood speak. Let your mercy speak for me. Amen? This is the pattern for us to have mountain-moving faith. Then you go to a place where you start to speak to the problems. Speak to the mountains. And I can tell you now, God will deposit enough faith in you to face any mountain. Turn to the person that you say you can face any mountain. Okay, I'm going to close with this. How do you do it practically? How do you do it practically? Number one, Matthew 6, he says, go into your room, into the secret place. Because what you do in secret, your Father will reward you openly. Amen? So have a time. Spurgeon says, before you see any man in a day, make sure that you meet face to face with God. He says, before you meet with any man face to face, make sure that you've met with God face to face. Amen? Number two, forgive quickly. Turn to the person that you say, forgive quickly. That means every day, because every day we make mistakes. If we say we don't make mistakes, we lie. Unforgiveness is the roadblock to many prayers. Because faith works through love. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you don't have love towards a person. And your relationship with God depends far more on the relationship with people around you than what you realize. Then submit to God. His will, not my will. Get heaven's opinion about your situation and start to declare it. Then believe that you've received it. That's what faith does. Jesus will show you a prophetic, believe it and receive it. Amen? And then lastly, persevere. Sometimes you have to speak to that mountain and not stop. Speak, but when you speak, believe that mountain has started to move. Amen. Jesus gives us this assurance that if we knock, if we ask, he will answer. Amen? Why will he answer? Because he's your Father. When you abide in him and he abides in you, John 15 says, whatever you ask, he will do. In Ephesians 3:20, a matter of fact, he says, I will do far more abundantly, exceedingly above whatever you think, whatever you ask. So I want to tell you, pray big prayers. Whatever mountain you are facing, the faith on the inside of you is greater than that mountain. You have enough faith on the inside to face any mountain. Turn to the person that you say you can face any mountain. The same Jesus that spoke to that fig tree, that spoke to that mountain, is the Jesus that lives on the inside of you. So when you start to take big steps of faith and start to declare things, there'll be a force from heaven that will support and back you. A matter of fact, Jesus himself is praying for you right now. How would your attitude change? How would your prayers change if you heard Jesus praying for you right now? The truth is, he is praying for you right now. I'm just going to leave you with this thought. Who's facing some mountains? No mountain that you are facing is bigger than Jesus. No mountain that you are facing is bigger than Jesus. A matter of fact, it's Tozer that said, if you know what the leadership of the church believes about God, how big God is, you can predict the future of that church. And I want to tell you, if you believe God is bigger than any mountain that you face, I can make a prediction about your future that you will walk in victory. You will walk in victory. Stop speaking about mountains. Stop scrolling and listening to all the negative stuff on here. And put this aside and start to pray prayers. You know what stirred my heart this week as well? I found my old prayer file from when I just got saved. And I started reading the prayers that I'd put in there. I would write down certain things, Lord, a pure heart. Hundreds of things written down there that I would pray over and over and over to remind myself. Let's go back to the basics. When we met Jesus and the prayers that we prayed, sometimes we start to pray these complicated theological prayers that we hear at conferences, and it's good to pray that. But I'm telling you now, a prayer in humility and sincerity of heart, where a mother cries out for a child and the priest looks at her and thinks she's drunk, is the prayer that got Jesus' attention, Hannah. It's not in the words and what we pray, but it's in the heart when we come before God. Forgive everybody and make sure you've got a clean conscience. When you've got a clean conscience, you know that this heart is righteous. It's the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman, that avails much.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.